And we read this morning from the smallest gospel, the one that we have been reading from throughout the season of Lent. And Mark, the smallest gospel, is also the shortest Easter story. 8 verses. And before we read this, let's ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this word which has come through the Holy Spirit, through the writer Mark. And we pray that as we read this word, as we think about this word, that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit and lead us to think about how we can be part of this unfinished story of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there were a group of women, and they had followed Jesus throughout his time of ministry. And then, through his time of crucifixion, and these women watched as a man took him, Joseph of Arimathea, took him and placed him in an empty cave, a tomb which he had built for himself. And there was no service. There was no time to grieve. There was no time to properly prepare the body for burial. And so these women waited. The longest wait of a single day they had ever waited. And now it is very early, before dawn. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there are a lot of favorite Easter passages. John's gospel comes to mind with that great story of Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene, or the great story of Jesus appearing a second time to the disciples in the presence of the doubting Thomas. And who can forget Jesus' personal encounter with Peter, who had denied him 3 times on the very night that Jesus was arrested? Some people love the Easter stories in Luke as the women find the open tomb, and then he appears to 2 disciples walking to the village of Emmaus. And many people also like the Matthew account as he adds the detail that the guards made up this story of the disciples stealing the body. But few people pick Mark's account of the open grave as their favorite Easter story. And yet, it is a dramatic ending to Mark's gospel. If you looked in your pew Bibles or in your own Bibles, you'll probably note a line after verse 8 and then a note. The earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, verse 9 through 20. And if you were to read through all the commentaries, most agree that the Gospel of Mark, the original Gospel of Mark, did not have those verses and that it probably ended at verse 8. And my favorite commentary on Mark by William Lane doesn't even comment on these last verses, since he is so convinced that the Gospel ended properly at verse 8. Which to him is a very powerful ending of the gospel. Just imagine those three women. There's Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James. Is that also Mary the mother of Jesus? And there is Salome, the mother of James and John. These are women who had followed and met Jesus in Galilee and were so moved by him that they followed him all the way to Jerusalem. And one of them had been delivered from demons by Jesus. And they were certain that God was definitely acting through Jesus and that Jesus was that long ago promised Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. But then they experienced heartache as they saw Jesus crucified and killed on that cross. And they watched as Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Jesus and placed him in that new tomb which he had prepared for himself. They watched as he rolled Jesus in linen cloths and placed him on the edge of that tomb. Are actually on a ledge in that tomb. Yet there was no funeral service, no time of remembrance. And then that huge stone was rolled in front of that entrance to the tomb. And then it was dusk. And the Passover Sabbath was here. I suspect that was the worst Sabbath they had ever experienced. And I suppose they could barely wait for the Sabbath to be over so that the body of Jesus could be properly honored. And thus, before the sun even rose, the women rushed to the nearest spice merchant and bought spicy aromatic perfumes that they could use to honor his body. And then they rushed to the grave and arrived just after sunrise. But they wondered, who will roll away that heavy stone from the entrance of the tomb? Now, this is something that we don't know much about. Why is there a stone rolled in front of an entrance to a cave that serves as a tomb? But that was a very natural thing for Palestinian or Israelite graves in that time. People would place the body on the ledge, and then every day for the next few days, they would go to the grave, open up the tomb, and discover that the body was still dead. But this time was different, because when they got to that tomb, the stone had already been rolled away, and they wondered, what could that mean? But they are determined that Jesus' body be properly honored, so they enter the tomb. And once more, they are stunned. They see a young man dressed in sparkling, heavenly, white robe sitting on the right side across from the ledge where Jesus had lain. And they were alarmed. They were in awe. Something is happening here that is entirely unexpected. You know, as we live our lives, we expect the ordinary. We don't expect the unexpected. We don't expect God to act in an amazing new way. For instance, as Christians, we have expected Christ's return for nearly 2,000 years, yet we don't expect it to happen today. We don't expect it to happen tomorrow, even though it could. And the Bible has warned us to be ready. And we don't really expect God to act in some great miraculous way to bring peace to this earth, to this world. After all, there is just so much hatred, so much, you're on the other side of things, and so you are my enemy. And we have trouble even imagining what such world peace would look like. And I suspect that after Good Friday and the Sabbath, these women also expected the ordinary. But then as they walked into that tomb, there was the extraordinary. There was the miraculous. There was an angel of the Lord sitting in an otherwise empty tomb. Jesus was no longer there, and they realized that something is happening, that God is doing something very special. And they are alarmed. They are in awe. Don't be alarmed. The angel says to them, you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. It was clear to the women that Jesus was not there, but he has risen. What does that mean? What? Who really is this Jesus who no longer lies in this grave? What happened to him? He has risen, the angel said. He is no longer here. Just look at the place where they laid him. He's no longer here. Now go and tell his disciples, tell Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Something is happening here that the women never expected. Jesus has risen. Is that really possible? Go tell the disciples and Peter. Does that mean that that Peter who denied Jesus three times will be forgiven? How is it possible? What has God done in this place? For it is clear that God has done something new, something awesome. Jesus has risen. Did you hear that? Jesus has risen. But it's too much for the women to handle this early in the morning. God has done something tremendous and Jesus has risen. Ah, so trembled and bewildered, they flee from the tomb. See, that is the point at which we do not like Mark's story. Jesus has risen and the women flee the tomb, trembling and bewildered. No, that's not the way we want it to be. It's not supposed to be that way. No, these women, aren't they supposed to be excited with this great news? Aren't they supposed to run to the other apostles and tell them that great news that Jesus has risen, that he is alive? That's what we've been singing this morning, isn't it? Christ the Lord is risen today. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. But here we have three or more women that are trembling and are bewildered. What is up with that? I think back to Moses in that burning bush when God told Moses from the bush that he was sending him to Pharaoh to deliver his people. You would think that Moses would have been all excited. Yes, it's happening. But instead, Moses brings up all sorts of reasons why he shouldn't go. He's afraid. And it's like that for these women. They are afraid. They have just witnessed a tomb that no longer contains a body. They've been told that Jesus has risen. God has done something new, something great. And they are trembling. One of my favorite Easter songs gets to this. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. And it makes sense to us that we would sing tremble when he is crucified or when he dies or when they laid him in that tomb. But in our 21st century way of thinking, we shouldn't. In our 21st century way of thinking, we should be excited and raise our hands in praise that God has raised Jesus from the dead. But that's not the way it was in the first century. See, the first century was a time that no one could approach the most holy place except for the high priest. And only once a year on the Day of the Atonement. And this empty tomb was a most holy place. God has done something that has not been done before. He has resurrected Jesus, and not just like Lazarus who would die again later. No, Jesus has been resurrected with a permanent resurrection body. This is something holy. This is something awesome. And the proper response for this, for these women, is indeed trembling. Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Now, during the season of Lent, we have been looking at events in the last week of Jesus' earthly life as described in the Gospel of Mark. Who is this Jesus? Who is the Christ? Is he the Son of God? Is he the long-promised Son of David? Is he the Son of Man? Is he a human brother? Is he the one that comes in the name of the Lord? Is he the Messiah, the Christ? Truly, he is all those things. But the question is, who do you say Jesus is? And what I mean is, what does Jesus, the Christ, mean to you? Is he just someone that we talk about in church or that people use as a cuss word? Or does his resurrection have an impact on our daily lives today? Does it change your life? Does it change how you live? Does it change how you think? You know, Mark ends this gospel with these strange words. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The end. The end of the Gospel of Mark. Or rather, is it the end of the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? See, this is how Mark starts his book. He says, the beginning of the gospel, that is good news, evangelii, or good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now he ends the beginning of this good news with the empty tomb and the women fleeing. We have no idea what they're going to do next. That story Mark hasn't written yet. That story hasn't been written. What is the response to the empty tomb? What is the risen Jesus going to do? What is his church going to do? Mark leaves it blank. He wants the church to write the rest of the story. How are we going to respond to the good news? Are we going to tell our neighbors that he has risen? And that is how we are going to leave this sermon, unfinished. I am not going to finish it for you. That is all our jobs. Finish it. Don't be afraid. How are you going to live differently because of Easter? Because of Christ's resurrection? How is the church different because of the empty tomb? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are slow to understand, slow to believe, and slow to act. We don't always understand why the tomb was empty, that Jesus has really risen. What does that mean today, nearly 2,000 years later? Father, work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit so that the risen Christ may be real to us. Through your Holy Spirit, help each of us and us as a church live resurrection lives, live Easter lives. And we pray this in the name of the risen Christ, our advocate, our Lord. Amen.